Word on Today FM.
Now, we're continuing our leader interviews today, and we're joined by the leader of Independent Ireland, Michael Collins, from the Cork South West constituency. Michael, thank you very much for being with us. But, you know, I'm sure there are many people listening who are thinking, Mike, there's the Rural Independence Group, there's Independence for Change, there's Independent Ireland. I mean, what's an independent now, if particularly there's an independent in a group which is essentially a party? Which ones are you?
Well, Independent Ireland was set up about 12 months ago, Matt. At the moment, I think we're the fastest political growing movement in the country. We're 24 councillors, one MEP and three TDs, and hopefully after this election, many more TDs also.
Just remind us who your other TDs are.
Richard O'Donoghue, TD in Limerick, and Michael Fitzmaurice, Roscommon at this present time. Now, what makes us different? We'd say to my previous party, our grouping that was set up as Rural Independence, and quite a lot of decent colleagues I had in that grouping, but we didn't have a set of policies. We have a set of policies now put forward together so that at least we're more structured. And what we're doing is we brought together 24 independent councillors that were scattered around the country and doing the best for their communities as they were. And at least now we brought them together and we have a system. We're not applying a whip system in relation to issues of conscience, but we will have a whip system if we go into government. That's if. You know, people might think it's automatic that we're going to go into government. I don't think it's automatic we're going to go into government. We want to sell our policies, and our policies are very, very straightforward in relation to agriculture, in relation to fisheries, in relation to health, you know, and this country, and education and housing.
And are you targeting the sort of to replace the Greens as the third leg of a Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government?
Well, the Green Party have caused a lot of disruption to many parts of Ireland, you know, especially
destruction.
In fairness to the people of rural Ireland, they found it there. I think the failures of the Green Party is to bring people with them. You know, we all need to move a direction in relation to our environment. We all need to have concerns about our environment, yes, of course, but you don't dictate to people. You don't try and put them out of business. You just look at one issue, is the wastewater treatment plants in this country that are bursting at the seams, that are bursting into our rivers. And you see, at the same time, every rule and regulation is applied to a farmer, and he has to keep, or she has to keep their farms in a good and clean and clear condition, yes. But when you see our state pumping raw sewage into our tides, into our clean waters, into our swimming waters, our fishing waters, it points the finger as to why parties like the Green Party didn't deliver on simple infrastructure.
But hold on, surely you do both. Surely you sort out the infrastructure and our wastewater plants, and there is significant money going into it. And simultaneously, you try and bring in measures to stop the flow of nitrates, for example, into our rivers and lakes.
We certainly have to stop the flow, and farmers have done their part, and the derogation drop from 250 to 220 is causing absolute mayhem.
And it's going to probably have to go further, isn't it?
It can't go any further. Because
why not?
Well, if it does, all we'll be doing in this country is importing foreign products like meats and goods into this country, because the farmer is at the end of his tether. I've gone into marts canvassing. They're telling me the marts are full of cows and cattle to be sold in January. That's not good enough. These farmers must survive. And we have forgotten where our clean meats, our clean food is coming from. And we've turned our back on agriculture in this country when we shouldn't have turned our back. And
turned our back on agriculture?
I'll tell you where it is and where the farmers are under severe pressure. And I don't want to talk just on farming alone here, because there's fisheries.
No, but it's important.
No, but it is very, very important. It's hugely important. But I spoke to a farmer the other day. He told me he has an outside farm and his home farm. He had an inspection, he was told about it. He was there. He met the inspector. He passed all levels of the inspection. He was delighted. And the lady inspected the farm very, very thoroughly, the outside farm. He sat into his car, came home. Guess what? There was an inspector at home that wasn't pre-scheduled. And here he was again, inspected at his home farm. Farmers are inspected to an inch of their life.
I'm sure if they're doing everything right, why would they be worried about that?
You see, the focus, the finger of blame has been pointed on agriculture when the state are not... Who's taking accountability for the raw sewage pumping into our tides from our sewer systems every town in this country?
But isn't that a separate issue? That, yes, Irish Water and the state should be taking responsibility for that, but you can't use that as an excuse to cover for what farmers themselves are responsible for. And if you look at figures that came out from the CSO even this week, it's quite clear that the biggest contributor to carbon emissions coming out of Ireland is the agricultural sector.
Well, the farmer is, in fairness to every farmer in the country, they've spent tens of thousands of euros to upgrade their equipment, sometimes without any grant aid whatsoever. The payments coming back to the farmers are getting less and lesser. We had the Taoiseach today, Simon Harris, saying that we must make sure that farmers get their payments or whatever in the front of the Farmers Journal. Last week, we had Micheál Martin saying that we must make sure the farmers get their retirements, get a retirement scheme put in place for farming. What happened in the last 10 years? Neither have been placed. I have people that are entitled to acres payments, getting calls from the Department of Agriculture, letters from the Department of Agriculture asking for the money that they gave the previous year for no reason at all to be taken back from them. And this has caused us massive stress to agriculture. And I'm not saying, like, as I said, I don't want to talk about agriculture.
No, we won't, I promise.
I know, but it is a very serious issue, because I'd like to spend another 5 or 10 minutes talking about fisheries and the way the fishermen have been neglected in this country. And a lot of people have been angered and frustrated and said nobody speaks on behalf of fishermen.
Okay, well, talk to me. In what way have they been neglected?
Well, first and foremost, this and previous governments have accepted the only deal that the fishermen got in this country was a decommissioning deal. That's the best deal. Is that the best deal you can tell after 5 years or 10 years in government Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil to a fisherman saying we did a good deal?
Okay. How many fishermen do we have now?
We got you out of the water. What we could have here, we have the richest resources in surrounds of this country. We're surrounded by water. But if you look at the graphs and all the details that have been sent to me, it's Japanese trawlers, Spanish trawlers, everybody's trawler, but Irish trawlers are inside our own waters.
And possibly overfishing and damaging stocks.
Well, certainly they have the boats, the massive boats to do that.
Okay, so what is the size of the Irish fishing industry? How many major trawlers do we have out there? How many people are employed in it?
Well, there's thousands of people employed still by fishing, but it's going down year by year because we've lost quotas after quotas, and we haven't been able to replace those quotas. We had a shock and raw deal in relation to Brexit, which was a last minute deal, and I continuously pleaded with the government at the time to not to leave a Frenchman, no disrespect to Michel Barnier, to be doing a deal for the Irish fishermen. Certainly he'd done a deal for French and they'd done a deal for Spanish, but the Irish fishermen lost out heaviest. And that's another area, a serious area of annoyance, that fishermen that want to work the seas in a fair and honest manner are not allowed to do so.
But how would you reverse that if you were in government?
We're continuously handing away our quotas to other countries, and we must as a nation either veto some of these agreements that are going on in Europe, but we certainly have to be a stronger voice in Europe, and we haven't been.
And that's what you would demand as part of being in government, is it?
You know, they're asking me about redliners. I spoke at the last negotiations of government with Micheál Martin. I remember saying to him that we need a minister for fisheries. You know, I would have accepted maybe a junior minister for fisheries. But the answer I got was, where are we going to get the ministries? A few days later, we had a super junior minister appointed to the office that we weren't told about previously. So there was areas that they could have moved and in relation to protect fishing, and it didn't happen. And, we need to look at that going forward. And that's an area that I'd be very much concerned about.
Okay, where does your party stand on immigration? Because there would be a perception based on you and the other TDs that you've mentioned and your MEP, Kieran Mullooly, that you're a largely rural party. So is immigration, as far as you're concerned, a bigger issue for rural communities than urban ones?
It's an issue for both urban and rural. I met our candidate in Dublin, our candidate Linda De Courcy, who says it's a serious issue at her doorstep. Willie Carton and Ryan McKeown spoke to me today about the same issues, and they're getting it at the doorstep. People are concerned, people are worried, and I think the biggest issue that they're worried about is the influx, huge influx of people into certain communities, that communities that can't cope. And we have been saying that for quite some time. I always said initially, and I was called a racist, which I think is an awful thing to call anybody that has concerns and should be entitled to air those concerns, was that we should have slowed the flow. A year later, Simon Harris says slow the flow, and nobody calls him a racist. So I don't understand why, if we have concerns and we have maybe solutions, what are the solutions? I think first and foremost, anybody who comes into this country without documentation, we have to have very serious concerns. They say they're now resolving that issue. Anyone that comes here that has committed a crime abroad should be immediately deported. We said in relation to modular homes and centres being built, they should be a planning application put in, the same as if I have to build a house or two houses anywhere, I have to go through the same rigours. And there's where you might end up creating an area of peace and an area of settlement that hasn't been there. Because if you give people no say in their communities, they come out and they protest. We don't want that. If we can avoid that, what I'd like to see is that there'd be areas of, if there's a centre going to be built, that people have an opportunity to object for genuine reasons. Maybe there isn't enough space in that school, enough in the local clinic. There's no area for people to, you know, have legitimate concerns aired.
But aren't there many parts of rural Ireland which have benefited greatly from the influx of people from other countries?
I agree with you, Matt. In fairness, I know it myself because in my own constituencies, there's people that are working hard in the health sector. They're working hard in the hospitality sector.
In fisheries as well, I bet you.
Yep, absolutely. They've come in from all over the world and they're more than welcome. And we look after my own constituency and others to make sure that they get their visas and that they're in this country comfortably. But all the concerns is the large influx of people coming into communities. And if there's a rural community or an urban community, it's a concern. And I think there's a better way forward than the way Roger Gorman has delivered to date. And I think that simple procedures like, you know, a lot of people say to me, is it true that people come in, get an automatic medical card? That shouldn't be the case. If you're sick, you should. If you don't, you shouldn't. You don't get an automatic medical card in this country. But anybody else, I have people sick with cancer, our own people, that can get a medical card. And it upsets them and it makes them feel as if, like people say, I'm not racist, but I'm frustrated that this happens, you know. And I think that maybe media should take some criticism in pointing the finger at people that raises concerns. You know, there's people that are out there that cause damage and they're people I wouldn't have anything to do with. But there is people that raise concerns and they're legitimate concerns in their community and they should be listened to.
You used the phrase a couple of times on the debate the other night, and it's in your sort of party literature that you regard yourself as being the party of common sense. But define common sense for me, because one person's common sense may not be that to another person.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I think common sense kind of resonates with people if they talk about accountability. We have no accountability in this country at this
point. Yes, we do. The election, which is taking place next week, is the ultimate in accountability. That is when people can decide whether they want to re-elect those who have been in office or whether they want to change them.
Well, that'll be next week, so the accountability will come after that, I hope, with Independent Ireland.
But that's the accountability in itself. People get to choose who their politicians are.
But at this present time, like, it's no point in saying every area of government is non-accountable. That's unfair, and if I put that out there, I'll take that back. But I will say certain areas are not accountable, and people are under serious pressure. And people know at the same time, when I'm knocking on the doors, they tell me there is money in this country, and of course I'll tell them there is. And when I'd be misleading them if there wasn't. But they're frustrated with the way the money has been wasted. No accountability. No accountability with Irish Water. No accountability with the OPW. No accountability with health. So their areas.
Just to finish up on this. So do you think, would you be able to reform all of that? Or would you say that maybe the best way is to give the people back their own money rather than having the state spend it for them?
I think what Independent Ireland want to do is set up a statutory body that overlooks the wastage that's going on in each department. I have no doubt.
So you're a bit like DOGE that Donald Trump is setting up. Is it the Department of Government Efficiency. That sounds very similar.
It doesn't matter where. That should be in every department, in every government, in all over the world. It doesn't mean Donald Trump or anybody else. It just means a watchdog that has teeth, that makes people accountable, that you don't throw €1 billion or £1 something billion into a children's hospital overspend without accountability. People want accountability so that money could go back into disabilities, going back in the hill. Why is it tomorrow morning there's people leaving West Cork at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning going up to Belfast for operations? They're waiting 5 years from here. They can't. They're going blind. They're going in pain with a hip or a knee. There's something wrong somewhere. The system isn't working. And the ordinary people...
Is that the fault of politicians or is that the fault of the permanent government, the civil service and the administrators in the various state departments?
I think it's a fault of the government. It has to fall, in line with the government of the day that they're not delivering. As I said, the money is there.
Now, but yet you'd go into government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil if you got the chance, wouldn't you? Or would you go into government with Sinn Féin?
We said we'll sit down and talk with every party after the election if they want to talk with us. But I can certainly tell you, if you look at our policies, there's some parties there that want to run a mile. But I'm not afraid to run anywhere. I'll sit down and I'll talk with every one of them. We have to act responsible. I've heard politicians going on saying, oh, I won't talk to this and I won't talk to that. That's not acting responsible. After the general election, Independent Ireland will sit down with everybody. It'll be clear in our policies if we want to set our policies that we want a new government, an accountable government, and if we're to play a part in that, that's what we'll be asking for. And certainly if not, we'll be a strong opposition.
Michael Collins, Leader of Independent Ireland, a candidate and sitting TD in Cork South West. Thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.